First of all, I'd like to give honor to God and then to our bishop and first lady for giving me the opportunity to minister to you this morning, for entrusting me to minister to you. This morning, the word of God comes from Matthew 20 and 27 and 28 and John 13 and 4 through 15. And the title of the message, if I had a message title today, whose servant are you? It is absolutely important to know who are you serving. In this season or this time of our lives, we have to understand that being a servant of God is absolutely necessary in order to be further in the kingdom of God. The definition of servant is a person who performs duties for others. A person who is devoted to or guided by something. A follower, the Greek word doulos, which means more literally a slave or a bond servant. Someone who sets aside all rights of his or hers own service. Synonym, helper, a supporter. If you are going to church only to get a good sermon and to hear some great word or great worship music and to get some great fellowship, you are missing the whole point of church. It is not what we get out of church, but what we put into church. Can I say that again? It is not what we get out of church, but what we put into church. What also we give ourselves, totally yielding to God in service to Him and to others. Unfortunately, a lot of us are serving and often self-serving, not godly serving, only in front of leadership. We serve to get others to like us. We serve to be admired. We serve to be adored. We serve for accolade. We serve to be worshiped. We serve for people to come and pat us on the back. Some people try to serve by bargaining, by using the tool. God, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. Real servants don't try to use God, but are used for God's purpose and God's will and assignment in the earth realm. St. John 13 and 15 said, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Jesus is speaking to us, encouraging us that the examples of what he has done, we ought to do. The world does not think highly of a servant. To be a servant is to be the lowliest position. No one boasts of their job as a servant. In fact, most people would be ashamed to be a servant. However, we do not live for the opinions or the applause of the people in the world. We serve doing the will of God because he has called us into his sheepfold. Serving others will help you to develop a servant's heart towards God and towards others. We cannot live a fulfilling Christian life without embracing the attitude of being a servant. We must follow the example of Christ as a follower of him. Jesus is the ultimate example of being a servant in the Bible. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 through 15 says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of himself equal with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humility position of a slave and was born as a human being. He appeared in human form and he humbled himself in the obedience to God and died a criminal death on the cross. Real servants think like stewards, not their own. They remember that everything that they own belongs to God. Everything that they are stewards over is God's. In the Bible, the steward were a servant entrusted to manage an estate. More people are sidetracked by serving materialism and that everything else but God. After I have achieved my goal, I'm going to serve God. After I get the husband, I'll serve God. After I get the house, I'll serve God. After I get, after. When is it going to be after? And even after he gives it to you, you are still not yet satisfied. After you have gained everything that you have seeked for, you still got a void. After and after, when will you be filled? Only when you totally sell out for Christ will you be totally fulfilled. Many of us understand that after we have served and served well, and then only time we are fulfilled in God. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but loses his soul? And at the end of your journey, you will have to understand, brothers and sisters, you will die, leave the house. You will die, leave the car. You will die, leave the stuff. And still, life will be still going on. Someone will be fighting over your belongings. So why don't you just serve him now? He'll give you what your heart desire. He said, I withhold no good thing to them that serve me. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. If you trust in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. So you have to understand, brothers and sisters, we have to come to clarity that in our Christian walk, we have to serve. But too many believers like to be served instead of serving. When the pastor calls for people to help out, we can't find nobody. We can only find the faithful few. When we call for us to do the pantry, only a few of us show up. When we call for somebody to clean the church, only a few of us show up. But let we call for free food. Let's be real. Let's say we're giving out today. Everybody's here. When will we learn that Jesus served in humility? And we are to serve in humility. We have to get the attitude and the spirit of a servant. Because inside of Christendom, God is tired of people that don't serve. He wants servants. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And it's not just talking about the people getting saved. It's talking about the work that needs to be done in the kingdom of God. There's a lot of position. You ain't got to fight me to be a minister. You can do something else. There's a whole lot of work to be done. And if you want one of my position, I'll give it to you gladly. That's one less thing I got to do. Because there's a lot to be done in the kingdom of God. There's a lot of souls that got to be reached. There's a lot of ministry that can break out in here. If you will only use your gifts and your talents for what God has given you. Stop looking at everybody else. God is talking to you. Stop trying to look at my gifts. My gifts are my gifts. And I have to be accountable. So when I get to the heaven, then I have to say, hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. If your job is to clean, clean well. If your job is to cook, cook well. If your job is to minister, minister well. If your job is to be an usher, usher well. Because only then and only then will you truly be fulfilled. Everybody wants the mic. And can I tell you something about this mic? There's fire up here. It's cooler down there. Because the devil ain't studying you when you're really down there. He's studying you when you're up here. Because you're in front of the people. He'll bring everything and everybody against you to destroy you. You've got to really be called to stand here. So stop trying to run here and stay there. Ministry and ministering comes with a price. You've got to give up everything to God. yielding yourself to God. When I want to do whatever I want to do, I can't do what I want to do. There's time that it said, get up, you got to pray. Somebody's in trouble. I can't sleep like y'all. Because ministry comes with a price. Some of us have let money become our master because we chase after it instead of chasing after the God who's the God of the money. He said, I own the cattle over 1,000 hills. He owns it all. You can go to the bank and don't have no money, and they'll give you a loan when you serve him. You don't need to have money in there, but have money in the kingdom of God. Put your praises up there. Let your worship be up there. The wealth, many of us are worshiping and desiring more and more of materialism, and all it is failing us. Many of us have gained many wealth, but we have misused the wealth that God has given us. Wealth is certainly not a sin, but failing to use it for godly glory, it's one. Real servants are more concerned about ministry than money. Real ministry than money. Real servants think about their own responsibilities, not what other servants are doing. They don't compare themselves. They don't criticize others. They don't compete with other servants because they understand that we are all on the same team. We are all here to give God and God only the glory. We understand that every work that each and every one of us do plays a part. We are all one body. The eyes need the toes. The hands need the feet. The ears need the eyes. We all need each other to do our part, that this ministry can thrive and succeed and build a kingdom for God that can shake the city of New Haven. God wants and understands your pains and your situation, but yet still we must serve. God's servants, we understand that we are all here to fulfill that one goal, to win souls. Win souls. We're not here for any other purpose but to win souls and to serve him and to let all the glory go to him. Servants of Christ do their work humbly and selflessly and please their benevolent master. They don't pretend or don't want self-gratification or people to pat them on the back because they know that any works that they have done is not because of them. It is Christ that's in us working through us. The servants of God are those who are devoted to his service and obedient and holy and live according to the word of God. Just as servants that love his master lives for the master's approval, so servants of Christ live for the moment he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy. Matthew 25, 21 and 23. To be a servant of Christ is to seek his will in all things. The Bible said, if you acknowledge me in all of your ways, I will direct your path. God will lead you and guide you into your assignment and build you up in your will, in his will, according to the assignment that he's given you. He has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Our primary desire every day as a servant of Christ is to honor and glorify the one who brought us out from freedom from sin. This means we must die to ourselves daily, to our flesh. Renounce our right to direct our own lives. Seek to bring our master's pleasure. One of the greatest examples we will see in the Bible of people serving: Joshua served Moses. Elisha served Elisha. David served Saul. The 12 disciples served Jesus. That's why you have to be careful when people pop up and call themselves pastors or people call themselves minister. Who have you served underneath? Who are you a servant of? Because just as I am a servant of God, you've got to be a servant of someone else. You can't just pop up and become a pastor overnight. You've got to serve first so others may serve you. God is a God of order. God is a God of doing things according to his ordered steps. You can't just skip over a step and feel that you are going to just do whatever. That's why many people are failing in Christendom, because people that God has not set up or given the authority to use his name were never servants, become servers and want to be served and to be worshipped and adored. And that's why people lose their soul underneath leadership that are not called. Many of our churches have the word inkabob. The word means my glory has departed. I was never in it in the first place. You've got to be careful of leadership and people that don't serve that are in leadership. True leadership is servanthood. And the greatest leader of all time is Jesus Christ. The Lord brought us with a high price. And those who come to know him desire to abandon all our rights to him and choose to serve him faithfully. We have to pick up our cross daily and deny ourselves. Too many of us are self, full of our self, full of our I, me, all about me, all about mine. It's time for us to be all about us. We are one. We are brothers and sisters of each other. When one is successful, we're all are successful. When one is failing, we're all are failing. When one is lost, we all are lost, because we bear one another's burden. We are supposed to be like Christ. Just like one of the sheep went away, we have to go back for that sheep. We have to have love and compassion for each other. We have to understand that as sons and daughters of God, the Bible said, how do I know that you are my disciple? That you have love one for another. We have to have the agape kind of love in our heart. The true love of God. The love that don't expect something back in return. The love that is unconditional, just like the love that God has for us. Christ not only died for our sins, but he lived to serve both God and man. Jesus submitted his will to the will of the Father. And Jesus served the Father by serving mankind. Let any of us should think that we are too high in stature to serve our fellow man. We would do well to look at the example of Christ. Jesus Christ, through whom from all the entire universe was created, and left his glory through in heaven to serve sinful man. Christ did not limit his service to the mighty miracles, acts such as healing the sick and raising the dead, but consented to the lowest menial tasks such as washing of the disciples' feet. So now we transition to how to serve. John the 13th chapter, as we see it, where Jesus began to take off his robe and he gets down on his knees and begin to wash his disciples' feet. And one thing that we need to understand, Brother Sean, you could go on the organ for him because I'm almost done. I'm about to close this out. One thing that we must understand, as Jesus got down in humility, we have to realize that those men, when they were walking on the streets, there were no dirt. It was all dirt and potholes, and the place where they walked in sandals. And one thing that you also need to understand, that those men's feet were smelly and stink and dirty. They walked and stepped into poop. And for God himself to get down on his knees and begin to wash their feet, that was a clear sign and an understanding that the God that we serve was humble enough to get down and begin to wash their feet. And one thing that you must understand, Jesus was down on his knees washing all 12 of those men's feet. Could you really look at it and understand? No matter what you're going through, our God is able to wash and cleanse you with his blood. Our God is able to cleanse you from head to toe with the power of his anointing. If you will just trust him, one thing that you can understand, while he was down on his knees, he was giving the greatest example of serving that he can. And also he was showing that no matter how high you are, you can get down and serve. If they needed to clean the bathroom, clean the bathroom. If they need you to clean upstairs, clean the upstairs. If they need you to serve, serve in a different capacity. You are not limited to your ability. You've got to understand that while you are a child of God, sometimes he'll call you out of your comfort zone, and he will begin to tell you, serve here, usher today, do this today. And don't limit yourself and to say that I can't do that. But he is giving you the power. He is giving you the ability to serve in the capacity and the understanding. When will the church understand that God serve like he serve? Serve in humility. Serve in love. Serve in compassion. Serve with the power of God. Serve in the anointing. Serve with authority. Serve in moving in the will of God. Serve in the will of God. And then he stood up from washing their feet. And then he gave them the understanding that what I have done is what you will do. You will come to the understanding as you go through life. You will have to serve and understand that you will have to become who God wants you to be. You may not be who you are right now, but wait on for a minute. God will turn you into the vessel of honor, a meat for the master's youth. Some of us right now are on the potter's wheel. God is chiseling us away for service. God is placing us on that wheel, and he's turning us around. God is moving in our lives. God is getting rid of your nasty attitude. God is getting rid of your selfishness. God is getting rid of your disobedient spirit. God is getting rid of your anger. God is getting ready to move you from the back to the front, but he has to put you in the fire. And while you are in the fire, he's making you pure as gold. While you are in the fire, when he brings you out and you're still not done, he places you back in inside of the fire. The trial that you're going through now, it's just for a temporary. God is making you. God is molding you. God is shaping you. God is preparing you. He said, if you hold on a little bit longer, you will see the end result. You being strong in me and in the power of your might. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you're in the fire, don't let go. While you are in the fire, don't give up. While you are in the fire, hold on and understand that you will come out as pure as gold. You will come out as pure as gold. You will be ready for ministry. You'll be ready to serve. You'll be ready to stand and to withstand against the wiles of the devil and put on the full armor of God and fight the good fight of faith. You'll be able to pursue after him. You'll be able to go a little bit longer. You'll be able to hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hallelujah. Serving. It was like David. Some of us got some giants in our lives right now. And all you need to do is get a few stones, get a few word, and begin to shoot it at your giant and begin to slay your giant. Stand and know that you come against the child of God, you uncircumcised Philistine. You don't know what type of God I serve. You don't know what type of God I worship. You don't know that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he is my fortress. He is my battle. He is my mighty warrior. Woo! Hallelujah. You've got to fight just like David fight. While you are going through, you've got to stand and withstand against every obstacle, against every opposition. Some of you may have been inside a midnight situation, but wait. God tells me he's turning it around. He's turning it around. If you need him to turn it around, jump up and turn around one time. If you need him to work it out for me. Work it out, God. Work it out, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The battle is hard, but you are equipped with the right tools for it. You are equipped with the right tools for it. He has given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Only if you will use the word to fight the kingdom of darkness, you will persevere. You will win the victory. You will be victorious in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Serving all the men and women of God served well and went home to glory. What will they say about you? Will they say you served? Or will they say you like to be served? Will they say you served? Or will they say you like to be served? You better put yourself in the right position to be used by God. Put yourself in a servant's way and begin to serve in the ministry and begin to serve in the kingdom and begin to serve where you are, and God will lift you up in due season. Hallelujah. 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 Serving and serving well. I want you to hold this dearly to your heart. No one can lead until he or she first serve. No one can lead until he or she first serve. If I cannot serve in any capacity, then I cannot lead in any capacity. And that's what's wrong with the kingdom of God. Too many people can't serve. They don't want to serve. They want to be served. But Jesus says, I give you an example. I have first served. Now it's time for you to serve. Hallelujah. First, I feel, and I believe there's a lot of us in here need to repent. There's too many work in this ministry that needs to be done, that some of you are waiting for pastor to come to you to tell you that you need to do this. But no, he's not going to come to you. The Holy Ghost has already spoken to you. It's time for you to get up and work. There's a lot of work here to be done. The reason why we're not full like we are, it's because of you. You and your disobedient spirit. It's because of you. You and your disobedient spirit. Because he told you what to do. But you keep saying, he didn't put me in that position. He didn't call me to do that. I want to preach. No, you ain't no preacher. You can't talk. You're not a preacher. Your gift is what he's given you. So work with your gift, and it will make room for you. trust me, it will. He's calling for y'all to repent. Today is a day of repentance. First of all, let me do the call. If you're not saved, lift your hands to be accepted into the body of Christ. If you desire to be saved, let's first deal with that. If you're not saved, I truly believe that if you're not saved, today is your day to begin to serve Him and to give your life to Him. Lift your hands if you desire to be saved. If not, we'll move to the next point. Because I believe, I'm not going to call the altar call. You're going to stand where you are. You're going to repent where you are. Because I don't want you to come up here and think I'm pointing you out. We all going to repent. We all going to repent for our disobedience, our lack of service, our lack of doing what God really called us to do. Stop waiting for pastor to tell you to do something that the Spirit has already spoken to you for. And He didn't speak to you once. He spoke to you twice. And He spoke to you three times. And some of you are more than three. And He's talking to you right now. Some of you, He's talking to you right now to tell you what the first assignment I gave you has not changed. It's still what I told you, and I'm not going back on my word. And you hear the Spirit of God. It's not like you're not hearing Him. Because when you want a blessing, you hear from Him. Let's be real. You know what's your assignment. Repent and begin to work. Repent and begin to work. You don't need a title. You don't need a badge. You don't need us to bring you in front of the church and anoint you with oil, because you're already saved. You're already filled with the Holy Ghost. But you're just walking in the spirit of disobedience. And the reason why some of the things that you touch is crumbling is because God said, until you do what I tell you to do, it won't move. Because I want to make it prosper for you. But I don't want you to think that what I'm doing in your life is because of you. It's because of your obedience. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. He says, I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing. You asked me for something. You asked me for some people to be saved. He said, until you do what I tell you to do, I won't save them. You're holding them up. Because they're watching you. And you're a counterfeit. Because you're disobedient. And when you're disobedient, you're the child of the enemy. And you can't say you're a child of God and be wishy-washy. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of their ways. And one thing that you must understand, you may never get the license and you may never get the paper, but long as God validates you. And I'm a true witness to that. I waited years for the church of God to give me the paper. I don't care about the paper. I love serving. I love doing the will of God. Because if I never got the paper, that the paper don't validate the anointing that's on my life. God does that. Too many of us are hung up on the piece of paper or the plastic. Do the ministry first, and then we'll see that you have earned it. Many of us get it and never do nothing with it. Maybe it's a big blessing that they didn't give it to me, because I proved that I wanted to serve. And I didn't serve for paper. I served because God called me. I would go wherever He wants to send me. And so should we. The paper does not determine the anointing that's on your life. And many of us, some of you are so gifted. Oh my God. Some of you could own businesses with the skills you got. We have entrepreneurs in here. We got people that could own ministries, own businesses. But because you are disobedient, God won't let the vision fully come to pass in your life. Some of you want to own car dealerships. God said, I want to give it to you, but you won't submit to me. Some of you want to own nursing homes instead of working for other people. He said, I'll give it to you if you give me your life totally. Some of you want to own cleaning businesses because you're so good at cleaning, but you won't submit to God. God said, I can't make it come to pass. It's in here. See, listen to me. I don't speak something that God don't tell me, because I don't try to be deep or anything. When I'm ministering, I just want to sit down and go about my business. A lot of you, God has great gifts in you. Some of you are so good at accounting. Some of you are great secretary. We need a new secretary at church. Sister House is getting ready to come down. When are you going to come forward and stop sitting back there so she can train you to do what we want you to do? She's getting ready to retire. I'm not saying she's leaving the church, but she's going to need someone to pass that mantle up. You sitting there looking at us, waiting for us to come to you when you're in here. It is time for us believers to repent and get it right. Let us stand.